You are listening to The Scene. I'm your show host, Laura Holloway, and we're here talking with Mark Kreider, local actor, director, figure in this community, really.
Yeah, I've been here a long time.
Thank you for being here.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I'm happy to be here.
And you're here to talk about Two Gentlemen of Verona.
That's right. I'm doing Shakespeare again. I was actually counting, and I realized this is the ninth production I have done for the Dogwood Shakespeare Festival here in town.
I love this. Okay, wait. So let's go back a little bit before we dive into what's happening now. Let's talk about what's happened. You have been for years a director, a teacher at Tech.
Right.
And tell me about some of your favorite productions. Tell me about some of your favorite shows. Actually, you know what? Let's go even farther back. What's the favorite show you've ever been in?
Oh, my goodness, that I've been in. My favorite show I've ever acted in was in 2012 when I got to play Willie Loman in Death of a Salesman. It was such a highlight. We had a guest director, Dave Davidson, who had, at that time had done a lot of work in Cookeville. Kim Frick Welker played Linda. I mean, it was just this amazing cast, and it was a show I have always deeply loved. So that was really a highlight for me, one of my favorite things that I've ever acted in. And of course, I love doing Shakespeare. I mean, I got to play Richard III. I was in Macker's play. I played Banquo years ago in an amazing production with the Knoxville Shakespeare Festival. So, yeah, I love being on stage.
How did you first get into theater? Do you remember the very first show you were in?
Can I tell you? I do. I was in, they used to call it junior high when I was in middle school. I was in a production. I got cast in a production called The Bride Comes to Yellow Sky.
Oh, is this an original cowboy work?
No, it was a cowboy play that actually the story was used. It was a short story that was adapted to the stage. It was also used as a source material, I think, for the movie High Noon. So okay. It was a cowboy show.
I thought you were going to say Blazing Saddles.
That would have been funny. But it was just this silly little play that I played the bad guy in. And, you know, I was, 14 years old or something? And it was just the most fun.
It's so fun to play the villain.
I loved it.
It's always more fun to play the bad guy, I think.
I've played some really good bad guys.
What other bad guys have you played?
Well, I did a whole series of, you know, I worked in dinner theater after grad school. I was called dinner theater was my postgraduate work. I really learned to be funny on stage doing dinner theater. And I did a whole series of really unpleasant guys. And I began to get a little bit like, you know, maybe there's some giving off a vibe or something. I think it's just the Jersey in me.
Well, you're deep voice. You know, you've got a large commanding presence.
And then I played one of the greatest villains of all. I got to play Richard III, and he's one of the great, all-time great villains, which was really heavy and both fun and challenging, kind of beyond belief challenging. Mm-hmm. Like I still look back and I go, how did I do that? It was crazy.
Yeah.
In the Bijou Theater too in downtown Knoxville, which is such a great place to perform.
I've never been there before.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Still there.
Yeah.
Still operating.
Yeah. And they renovated the whole space and now it's gorgeous. This was pre-renovation, but it was still gorgeous. It's a great space. You should go see music there.
No,
Jen and I went to see, who did we go see just recently? Now I can't remember. I'm 62 years old. My brain stuff goes right out.
That's okay. You're aging into your good roles now.
There you go.
Right?
I'm hoping.
That's what I always think. I always think I'm aging, and one day I'm going to age into my Merrills. That's my goal. I'm going to age into my Merrills.
You've got a little more time to go, but I'm definitely I'm ready for the old man roles.
What's your greatest old man role that you want to play?
Oh gosh, well I really do. If I get too much older, I'm going to age out of playing Falstaff. I do need to play Falstaff. Do you know Evan Cole, actor in town? Evan Cole's a very fun actor. He's been working forever, and he and I've done a lot of Shakespeare together. And he likes to point out, I'm a big man. Why be built this way if you're not going to play Falstaff? all right, I'll take it.
All right, so you got to do that.
But, you know, and I don't want to get too much older for that. It would be great to play Prospero in The Tempest. But then there's also some Pinter plays I would love to do. There's his play, The Caretaker, that's got a really great old man in it.
Yeah.
Who's just, it's like kind of a brutal, you know, it's Pinter, so yeah. It's just really brutal.
It's always just dark, and like yeah. You finish reading that, it's kind of like reading Beckett. You get to the end, and you're like, I'm sad.
Yeah, and Beckett, and of course Beckett would be so fun to be, you know, one of the old man, I don't know, in Crap's Last Tape or something like that. Mm. So they're there.
They are there. We are talking with Mark Kreider. Mark, we're going to be back and talk with you a little bit more in just a moment.
Thanks.
You are back listening to The Scene. I'm your host, Laura Holloway, and we are talking with local director, actor, Mark Kreider. Thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you so much.
We have been talking about your past and all of the great roles and all of the great shows. I would love to talk about what you've got going on right now, which is just this little tiny play by this little know-nothing, no-name author.
We really think Shakespeare could catch on, we hope.
I mean, I hope it happens for him one day. They say that, you know, one day it'll happen.
They say he's pretty good.
Yeah.
Although, ironically, this show that I'm doing, Two Gentlemen of Verona, is not considered one of his best works.
And
it's one of his
earliest
works.
Why
In fact,
do you
some
think?
Say it's one of his very first plays.
Yeah.
I mean, different scholars, you know, kind of argue about it. And you can see in the play, he is clearly working on things. He's experimenting with things that he does better, you know,
later.
For instance, in Romeo and Juliet, mm-hmm. or things that he does better in Much Ado About Nothing. Mm-hmm. But I've always liked, I like the simplicity of Two Gentlemen of Verona. The characters are, I find them very funny because they're all sort of silly. I mean, they make really silly choices. And, you know, you can see if Shakespeare loves to write about, you know, love, and he loves to write about friendship. And so he's clearly playing with this, mm-hmm. these different ideas. Mm-hmm. And I just think I think audiences are going to have a lot of fun.
What is your favorite Shakespeare play?
Oh, that's the hardest. As a director, I have directed Midsummer Night's Dream numerous times. I think it's one of the most accessible plays for students of all ages. Shane Cunningham did it at the high school this past fall, and yeah. It was brilliant. Yeah. And the students clearly had a fantastic time working on it. I love Hamlet. I've directed Hamlet a couple times, and I've acted in Hamlet a number of times. Of course, Macbeth, which I can say in here because it's not a theater.
We can say,
no. I think, pound for pound, it's one of the most exciting plays. It's so tightly written. The characters are vivid. The downfall of Macbeth from, you know, hero to severed head is brilliant.
I don't think there's a better role for a woman than Lady M.
Oh, she's like, the best.
I never done the whole show, but I did monologues from that in college and in some scene work. And oh my God,
yeah.
Like there's just not many roles like that ever again.
She is really brilliant. And, you know, that's one of the things I do love the women that Shakespeare writes.
Yeah.
I mean, Rosaline in Much Ado is just a brilliant character, yeah. And such a good foil for, you know, Benedict. And I really do love Well, not Rosaline.
Beatrice.
Sorry.
Yep.
Yeah, although I do like Rosaline, too. I do like Rosaline, too.
He writes strong characters.
Yeah.
He writes strong women characters, which, you know,
and
in
still,
this day we need
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he's still scratching at it in Two Gentlemen of Verona.
Yeah.
But I think my approach to it is a rom-com. That's how I want it to – I want it to play like a rom-com. We're going to set it in the 20s, so it'll have that kind of look. It's okay. I've noticed I was looking at images in the 20s of Milan – and New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
And strangely enough, there's a real similarity.
Hmm.
So it's going to have a bit of a New Orleans kind of vibe to it. The 1920s, of course, the music is so fun.
So good, the jazz.
And I just want it to be a rom-com with these kind of silly characters. They're not necessarily very deep. They make really bold, silly choices.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Plus, great character for a dog. Not only are we having human auditions, we're looking for a dog.
Okay.
We need a dog to play Crab.
Tell me about that. What kind of dog are you looking for?
Well, he looks like the kind of dog that is, I mean, he could be any size, really. Not too big. I don't want too big a Crab, but he's got this great relationship with the character of Launce. I think it's the best written character in the play, too. And he's got this character, this dog, who is a character in the play.
Yeah.
And so you got to have a really interesting dog. Yeah.
So tell me, for someone that has never read or seen, knows nothing about Two Gentlemen of Verona, break it down plot-wise. What can people expect to see?
There are two – well, the two gentlemen are two best friends. And one's going – essentially, one's going off to see the world and the other's staying behind because he's in love. And the other one goes off to see the world and falls in love. And then his best friend decides to follow him, sees the woman he's in love with, and falls in love with her.
Oh.
And so there's all the complications of that. And just things kind of go, you know, hilarity ensues, I guess we should say, for a rom-com, is the ridiculousness of these two guys, the two women that are left behind, the one woman who decides, well, I'm going to go after my man. And of course, she disguises herself as a man, which happens so often.
Shakespeare loves
this
that.
Is one of the first times that he has had a female character.
Yeah, which is just disguising. Part of theater.
Right,
isn't
exactly.
It? The cross-dressing is just part of
it's
theater.
It's just part of theater.
It'll be okay.
And of course, if you think about historically, it would have been a young man playing a young woman who would want to get into his man's clothes as soon as possible.
Exactly.
So, yeah,
exactly.
It's really a fun. And of course, you know, no spoiler, but it's a comedy, so it ends happily, of course.
I love a good happy ending. Well, hey, you know what? Let's talk a little bit more about this in just a moment. You're listening to The Scene, and we're here with Mark Kreider. You are listening to The Scene. I'm your host, Laura Holloway, and we are here talking with Mark Kreider. Mark, we're talking about Shakespeare.
Yeah.
We're talking about some of the great shows. You were a founding member of the Knoxville Shakespeare.
Yeah, they were originally called the East Tennessee Shakespeare in the Park, and then they became Shakespeare on the Square, and now they are just Knoxville Shakes.
Okay.
I was involved with that before I came to work at Tech, and then I stayed on for the first 10 years that I was here at Tech. Every summer I would flee Cookville in the summer and go off and play with Shakespeare.
It's a glamorous Knoxville.
Got to act numerous times, eventually started directing for them, and I've gone back occasionally. And, you know, I directed the first 4 years of the Dogwood Shakespeare Festival as well, when Chad and Steve Gwilt and started that with the city. And I just love it. I mean, I just think Shakespeare is you know, outdoors, under the stars, Shakespeare, it's just all perfect.
It is perfect. What was the first show that they did at Dogwood?
Midsummer Night's Dream.
Of course.
It was just, yeah. And you know, that's essentially what I said to Chad was, look, what a great way to start.
What a great way.
You know, when we did that, the first four were that, Romeo and Juliet, Taming of the Shrew, and Twelfth Night.
Very nice.
Loved them. They were great.
And so this year it's Two Gentlemen of Verona.
Two Gentlemen of Verona. Never been done by them. They're really trying to – I think the plan is to eventually get through the whole canon.
That's exciting.
You know, 37 plays and they're trying to not repeat things, which I think is a really noble goal.
Yeah.
Let's try to get to all of these.
Yeah.
But – you know, it's going to be challenging.
I was going to say some are going to be a little harder to get the interest.
You know, I am obsessed with trying to figure out a way to do King John, which is probably the least known and maybe least loved of Shakespeare's plays. But it is kind of interesting.
Hmm.
It's a bit of a clunker, but it's as histories go, it's not as exciting as, you know, Henry V or something.
Yeah. But Shakespeare has a great way of bringing a lot of different types of actors together. Comedic actors, dramatic actors, everybody kind of finds a place in Shakespeare and all races, genders, everything.
Well, it's one of the things I've had a number of people reach out to me about the auditions that are coming up for Shakespeare
coming
in the Park.
Coming up tonight.
And about who it's open to. And I've said it's open to everybody. And you don't even have to have experience working on Shakespeare. I mean, I love to work with actors who have maybe read, you know, Romeo and Juliet, because they had to in middle school, and I've thought, oh, I think it'd be fun to do Shakespeare. All right, then come out and audition, and let's see. And I love working with people who've, you know, been in everything, every Shakespeare.
Yeah. So. I think sometimes if you've done Shakespeare, you do it the same way every time. And if you've got somebody that's green, it's kind of fun.
Oh, it's exciting it's exciting to see that it works. You know, you don't have to do some sort of fake English accent. Yeah. That doesn't have to happen.
Oh, come on, man. Come on,
I mean, sometimes it can, but, you know, sometimes I went to see a production of The Tempest years ago that was done in Appalachia, and it worked. And the Appalachian accent worked.
I can't think about that for a second.
And
it
sounded,
like
and they said it in the mountains, and it had legitimate bluegrass
banjo
music. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it played really well. Yeah. So, I mean, that's the other beauty of Shakespeare.
Why do you think Shakespeare has the longevity that it does?
I think it's just that he continues to speak to us. I mean, it's all about the human condition, you know, whether it's the, you know, character struggling with their identity, with characters struggling for power, and what does that power mean? The difficulties, you know, there's not a lot of happy marriages in Shakespeare. Well, marriages are complicated, and Shakespeare really enjoyed talking about that, all the different aspects of love, from the Romeo and Juliet, you know, love at first sight, to will they, won't they, of Beatrice and Benedict. I mean, all of that stuff people just love. And I do think the challenge of understanding Shakespeare, if you are somebody who naturally wants to learn and wants to understand, Shakespeare is a great opportunity to just try to figure it out. You know, I love when people bring their, you know, copies and sit in the front row and they're following it.
Oh, the pressure.
But it's cool. It's like they're really wanting to understand it. Yeah. And I always tell my students, you will find no playwright who is more accessible online. Use everything to understand this. Don't just go on what we're saying and give up. Use every opportunity. There's so many good scholarly works out there about Shakespeare.
Yeah. Well, Two Gentlemen of Verona is coming up. Show dates are October 4th through October 12th.
Right.
Auditions are tonight at Dogwood Park from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. What do people need to prepare?
We ask that they prepare basically a one-minute memorized Shakespeare monologue or a classical piece. So it doesn't have to be Shakespeare. It could be from a Greek piece. But I've said, too, if you're hearing about this and think, I want to come out, but I don't have something prepared yet, well, then come. I'll have some pieces, too, that I'm happy to let you look at. You can review it a few times and then get up on stage and read through it.
Coming up tonight, 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. auditions at Dogwood Park. Show dates are October 4th through October 12th. These are open auditions. Everyone come out. Come out for the show. Come out for the auditions.
Thanks
for being here.
Oh, my pleasure.